Good Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Local Matters on KTLO. This is Heather Loftus, and I am pleased to have with us in the studio this morning Dr. Jake Long, Superintendent of Mountain Home Public School System. Dr. Long, welcome back.
Thank you, Heather.
You're here, so that means school is about to start next week. I know we say this every year, but my goodness, the summer flew by fast.
Yeah, it's funny. I heard a statistic that they were talking about whenever you get to August, people start talking about how quickly the year has flown by, how quickly the summer, and I truly believe that it is the start of school that kind of triggers that for everybody. But yeah, I mean, all their events are in full swing, from the back to school bazaar, which was a great success, to the open houses, and so definitely we've got things kicked off, ready to roll.
Bomber Fest will be happening a week. Next Friday night, you'll be able to join us.
The 16th.
Yep. See everybody. We'll be out there together. The KTLO Barbecue Cook-Off Challenge will be out there. And, of course, the scrimmage will happen and all the kids. It's so much fun. I love Bomber Fest because it feels like the official welcome back to school party.
It really does. And it's unlike any event that I've ever seen or been a part of in a school setting, because it's truly the community coming together and throwing a back-to-school party. And, and it's just an awesome place where there's food, there's games, there's entertainment, and it's welcome for everybody.
It's free. Everything's free. Just so come on by again. We'll be at Bomber Stadium again. That's next Friday night. Stay tuned to the stations of KTLO Classic Hits in the Boot, and you'll hear all that good information. We've got a lot of information to run through this morning, and we're going to cover as much as we can. But, of course, this time of year, we're always kind of looking at, you know, I know you and the school board and the administrators all have big picture ideas, big points of emphasis this year. So tell us the key points that the Mountain Home Public School District is focusing on.
So I would say it's our continue. We began a process last year where we established some teachers on special assignment to support our literacy initiative. And that's not just Mountain Home Public Schools. That's a state RISE initiative. And so I would have to say that continuation of that strong instructional support to ensuring that every child is reading at grade level. And so that's going to continue to be at the forefront. We can't just do one thing and then, you know, immediately drop it and move to the next thing. So I really want to us to focus hard on literacy and focusing on that. But there are a couple other things that are definitely being put into motion this year that is going to be new. We went through a career academy revisioning process in which we established new pathways at our career academies. But along with that, we're implementing a program called Project Lead the Way. And so Project Lead the Way is actually going to be a K-8, K-9 program once we get it fully developed that allows, really starts triggering some of those STEM pieces of education. And so we're going to
STEM stands for
science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And so it allows us to have real life, they're called modules, and allow our students to work through that. Now, what that will look like from a parent or to a student is we're going to start in the implementation of our computer classrooms. So, if you're in kindergarten, you go to computers. That day, you may be taking on a module that is focused around computer science and coding. Same thing
in kindergarten.
In kindergarten. Yeah. Same thing at Nelson Wilkes Herron. You go to computer class, and you will be taking part of those modules. All the way up to fifth grade, where we actually have a Project Lead the Way trained teacher, Miss Becca Camp, is going to be doing that, and then also working with those paraprofessionals and interventionists at the other schools and computer teachers to input these modules into our school's learning. And so the vision doesn't just stop there in the computer class or the computer science curriculum. Really, Project Lead the Way has some curriculum that aligns to our science standards. So it's really about maybe even pushing in that direction in the future, but taking it one bite at a time. And there'll also be classes available for our students at the Pinkston level and junior high in the areas of computer science, biomedical, and then also engineering. So pretty exciting stuff.
Talk to us about the early childhood literacy. I know several organizations across the state have been trying to help in this area and do different things, and everybody keeps coming back to what's the one reason? Why are we struggling so hard with our early childhood literacy? And a lot of the studies have come back to say the lack of parent involvement at an early age is the number one contributing factor. Is that what teachers are seeing in the schools?
I would say yes. And so because so many of our students aren't in a formalized, structured preschool program, that they may have a babysitter all day or they may be going to somebody all day, but as far as a core instructional that is focuses on pre-reading and those early
ABCs,
literacy,
the 1-2-3s,
the early literacy skills that are essential for teeing up the reading curriculum, I think it's going to continue to be a struggle. And so obviously in a perfect world, we would have universal preschool for all 3- and 4-year-olds. And so when you talk about that, then you're just extending, instead of, kindergarten through 12th grade, now you're going, 3 through 12. Obviously, the biggest, greatest barrier to that is funding. And you start offering 2 more grades, 2 more classrooms, our schools, not just here in Mountain Home, but across the state, are not equipped to be able to do that. But the more we can do, like we do in partnering with our local preschools, working with the Early Literacy Task Force, which we're supporting the Imagination Library from a school district standpoint. So I'm very excited to help move that needle a little bit.
You talked a little bit about after-school programs. I know that the district started an after-school program open to all students K through. You're going to have to help me out. I'm not familiar with all the details.
So last year it was K through 2 through second grade. So it was at kindergarten and then Nelson Wilkes Aaron. This next year we're actually extending it to Hackler, which takes us through the 5th grade. And we feel like that fulfills a big need in which some parents might have if they're working till 5 o'clock or to 6 o'clock in ensuring their child has supervision and then also, quality extended school day learning opportunities.
And play and a snack.
Yes, and play and a snack. And the thing that I really want us to focus on those is being tech free. We had a lot of success this summer with our literacy camp, and it was an off-the-grid theme, and so we're going tech-free. And that's one thing that we have to remember, that our students are getting tech in all aspects of their lives. Okay. So we're going to have to kind of flip the switch and within our schools and our structured time, being intentional with our screen time.
I sometimes believe if a child is given a choice of outside or iPad or Kindle or Chromebook or whatever it is, more often than not, the child will choose outside.
Yes, I believe that is the case. And I think we have to continue to putting those choices in front of our kids and not just say, all right, we're going to, we're going to work on our literacy skills and we're going to do that on the iPad. There's opportunities that we can do better. And I think we have people in place that are committed to that vision as well.
The cost, if a student wants to participate in the after-school program?
$5 a day.
$5 a day. You can sign up for the after-school program anytime?
Yes, anytime, whether it's the first day of school or 2 weeks into school or 2 months into school, we can get you hooked up there.
How are the overall enrollment numbers looking so far?
So far, we're up around right at 3850. When you take comparison to where that has been in years past at the beginning of school year, it's right pretty much level. And so we're really won't know until like 2 weeks into school, really after Labor Day, you get a solid feel of where we're actually going to be. So we're continuing to watch those numbers. We have opened up an additional kindergarten classroom because our pre-registration did not show that we necessarily needed it, but we've had several students come in since then, and so we have opened up a new classroom, which is exactly what we want to do. We just wanted to make sure that we were responsible with our personnel costs along with that, too.
How is the district able to provide free school supplies for all Mountain Home students?
That's a great question, and it's been one of the more challenging things that we've, believe it or not, it's been one of the more challenging things that I've run onto in my time as a superintendent, because this process really started last October when I put together a teacher committee from every grade level, and we started identifying those essential school-related items that were needed for the classroom. I do feel like that we had kind of created a monster when it came to our school supply list for parents. And that's what I was hearing. In fact, I remember a conversation with you in the middle of Rodeo Drive over there and talking about that we've kind of created this monster and we need to reel it in a little bit and ensure we're doing this. But one thing really led, to answer your question, one thing led to another in which we were able to write that into a grant and able to provide school supplies for all our kids. But it hasn't been without a lot of hard work from our teachers and our personnel to really kind of reel some of that stuff in, and then maybe not having what they've had in the past or coming up with other means of getting some of those, as opposed to sending it in a letter to our parents and putting that burden directly on our parents. I will have to say I'm very appreciative of our local PTO because they stepped up last week, and they said, all right, there's all these other project items. We want to help. And so that was a great thing in which our PTO was willing to do, and other people have said some of those similar things. So it hasn't been a cheap endeavor, but it's one that is very worthwhile in ensuring that our kids have the essential supplies in which they need to be able to begin school, and every child, and then take that burden off the parents. Just show up at school, focus on learning, focus on the relationships, and let's go.
I think a big round of applause and a big thank you is due to all of you for that. And it's amazing. Is there any other district in the state of Arkansas that is providing free school supplies to their students?
There are, but there was very few. There's a whole lot more this year than there has been in years past, because the words kind of got out.
That
this can happen if you want to make it happen. And really, to us and to the school board, and you know, they basically said, let's do this, find a way to make it happen. And
you love it when your boss turns you and goes, just figure that one out.
But it's great, because really our parents deserve it. I mean, we're requiring our children to go to school. Our parents, you know, the last thing they need is, you know, one more thing. They're already, you know, paying taxes and you know, sending their kids to us. And so our parents deserve it, and our kids deserve it, for there not to be any kind of stigmas of who has what whenever they enter that classroom.
It's a level playing field, and that's what everybody wants for their kids. So.
All kids can learn. And our expectation is that all kids can learn, every student, every time. And I think this is a big step that really puts into action our mission, every student, every time. Okay, we're going to make sure every student has what they need to get started.
So. Well said. Let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting once again with Mountain Home Public School Superintendent Dr. Jake Long. School starts Wednesday, believe it or not, so please be careful Wednesday morning when you're out and about. Remember, do not text and drive. Do not use those phones. There's a lot of new rules, new laws that have gone in place over that, and pay attention and listen up for that coming up. Dr. Long, there's been a lot of stuff that's come out of Little Rock, both from the legislature and from the Department of Education. A few of these things I want to run through with and just kind of see where Mountain Home is. A new law requires elementary schools now to provide at least 40 minutes of recess each day. What changes have you guys taken, gone through to make this happen for your students? And are we talking K through 6 here? I mean, how do they classify elementary?
Typically, elementary is classified K through 6.
Okay.
Last year, we actually piloted a program at Nelson Wilkes Herron that was the extended recess of 60 minutes. So for those students, we're actually, you know, to meet the new letter of the law, it'll actually be a pare down of some of the recess time. But, you know, our school board and our staff, we firmly recognize the importance of physical activity for our kids, and our kids needing to be able to go and let loose and to play meaningful games and all that. And so we support it, and we're making all the adjustments needed to be able to be there. But really, ultimately, we did a pretty good job of ensuring that our kids had the recess time that they needed.
It's not much. I mean, we're talking 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the afternoon.
Yeah,
right?
So it's not a huge adjustment for us. I said, we were able to offer 60 minutes last year through a pilot. So,
if they have gym or PE or, I mean, none of that time's included.
Yep, okay. That's not counted.
A new law requires public schools to allow homeschooled students to enroll in individual classes. Have you heard from any homeschool students who want to take classes? And if so, I mean, how do they go about that?
So that, I believe what you're referencing there is a law that requires homeschool students to enroll in individual classes to be able to participate in a AAA activity.
Correct.
And so I don't have any specific number of students that have signed up for that, but already many of our kids, if they were coming in and they were being homeschooled, but yet they wanted to play basketball. So they were already enrolling in at least
one
course.
New.
No, it's
the
not.
The law might be new, but this has been going on for a while.
As far as our practice, this is pretty standard of practice. And what I think they're avoiding there is we have like a digital learning course and a FlexPath program.
Right.
And so they're really trying to get the students on campus as opposed to just through some sort of virtual school if they're going to participate in an extracurricular.
How many students in our area, and I know it can't be confined to just Mountain Home, but do you have a rough estimate of the total number of students who are being homeschooled in this area?
So I don't have the exact number, but a few years back, if you combined private school, homeschool, and then other virtual academy type offerings, there was about 300 kids in our area, which would encompass, you know, Cotter, Norfolk, and Mountain Home. So that's that kind of tells you where we're at. There's so many offerings out there, and the choices available to parents are just, you know, they're really, you know, endless. But I also feel like the choices available to parents through the Mountain Home Public School educational system are also endless when it comes to concurrent credit. One of those new laws allows for juniors and seniors to take up to $500 worth of concurrent credit free of charge to the parents. So you have that. That means a student can graduate from high school with, you know, nearly 30 hours of concurrent credit without it costing the child or the parent a dime.
And the average 30 hours in a college course is, I mean, that compared to $500, I mean, you cannot beat that price.
No, you can't. And we have strong partnerships with ASU Mountain Home. It's really, I have parents ask me all the time, they get a little nervous when they start seeing their senior schedule. Because through our charter and through our partnerships through ASU, the number of courses in which our seniors actually take on our campus are very limited. And that kind of freaks some – it's very scary because it's kind of like that one thing that wakes up our parents and says, oh, my child's almost done. And so a lot of times it's only banned. Because if they take their English Comp 1, Comp 2 during the summer or through ASU, then they have that fourth English credit, and a lot of those things are done. So, you know, the theory has been brought up of extending that senior year looks so much different than it did even whenever you and I went to high school. And so the senior year's becoming so much kind of post-secondary feel and look that maybe we need to, you know, be more of a four-year-old to the 11th grade, you know, type system. And so that's definitely big picture things. It requires a lot of hats at the table, but it's an idea for sure.
You mentioned your partnership with ASU. Of course, that's the Promise Scholarship, where any graduating student from Mountain Home High School has the ability to go the first 2 years at Arkansas State University Mountain Home at no charge.
Yes.
We've been
tuition free.
Tuition free. Sorry, tuition free. We've been doing this for a few years now. Numbers that you have for students that have been participating and more, you know, how's it going?
Yeah. I don't have our fall numbers yet. I anticipate getting those in the upcoming weeks from ASU. But it's been a tremendous success and just an incredible opportunity to our students and parents when they think about what they can get here for nothing. And it's pretty good deal, and one that I, you know, if I'm a parent and I've got a student coming up through the system, I'm definitely keeping my eyes on and wanting to make sure that that's a program that is successful and in place for many years to come.
A couple other laws and issues coming out. A new law requires State Department of Education to develop a Bible class curriculum. What is happening with this, and how will it impact Mountain Home Public Schools?
So that whenever I was working in Missouri, this came about, and basically what we did was we developed a curriculum for just literature of the Bible. And so obviously not teaching any one religion or not, but just the utilizing the Bible as a piece of literature. And so I would anticipate that's the direction that is headed in the state of Arkansas, because there is this little thing called the Constitution, and we can't violate, separation of church and state. And so, but the Bible is a piece of literature that can certainly be learned from. And I would anticipate that's the direction where that goes. But in Mountain Home, we haven't done anything with that yet, but we'll keep it on the radar.
A new law enhances penalties for drivers who pass school buses while demonstrating a reckless disregard for safety. Have you had problems within the Mountain Home District with school buses and motorists?
Yeah, I would say it probably happens every day. You know, somebody goes through a sign that, and a lot of oftentimes it happens like on, you know, Business 62, where there's four lanes and somebody's in the far lane and they're there and next to the curb and the kids are there. But we still have to stop on those situations. If it's not a divided highway, we have to stop. And so just, you know, keep your eyes out for our students there. And the last thing we want happening is, you know, any of our students being in harm's way.
Governor Hutchinson announced a couple of weeks ago the graduation rate in Arkansas has continued to rise, and I believe now the state has the 14th highest graduation rate. I mean, people are going to have to come up with better jokes about Arkansas, because we seem to be knocking this out. The state graduation rate is 89.2%. Mountain Home's rate is 87.4%. For the fourth year in a row, it is somewhat below the state average. Do you know what he attributes that to, and what we can do as parents and a community to help raise those rates?
Yeah, I feel like that we've already taken a couple steps, and I think that those were last year's numbers. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see once we get our new graduation numbers. But a lot of the programs that we're doing through the alternative learning program and Jeff Kincaid and Guy Berry, I think will help some of this. If you remember, we opened up our we passed a thing that allows for a night school at Guy Berry, which I think will help some of those graduation rates. And that's one more opportunity that if, you know, life happens to a child or a young adult at the age of 18 and they have, you know, a semester left and life happens and they have to go get a job and they drop out or whatever it may be, and they get, you know, 6 months down the road or a year or 2 years down the road and they're like, man, I really wish I would have finished my high school diploma, we can pull them back in and get the diploma. Now, that won't technically help our graduation rates because it's based on their ninth grade cohort. So based on the who's enrolled at the ninth grade and who graduates as a 12th grade, you know, four years later. So, but at the same time, it's still the right thing to do. I think that we can have to continue to think outside the box of meeting those needs of our students that are having life happen to them.
May I be more direct and ask
Absolutely.
If that life happened to them has to do with the high amount of drug usage in our area and the fact that a lot of those kids are suffering from parents who are abusing drugs. We always think about drugs and young people, and it's not necessarily your young students right now. It's more young parents and their drug usage. I even heard someone within the district say that they check the sheriff's website every morning to see if any of their parents or their students are on there. Yeah. Is that a major concern within our school district?
It is a, it is definitely a major concern. Obviously, we don't want our, number one, we don't want our students abusing, and then we don't want our students having to live in an environment in which the abuse, the drug abuse is happening. And oftentimes, if that drug abuse is happening in the home and the student is refusing to kind of follow suit, that requires them to move out of the home, which we know if you move out of the home, you have to have a place to stay, which oftentimes, you know, that requires a job. And at the same time, I still think that we have to make sure that our students, you know, that we're being as proactive as we can with our students and ensuring that we're promoting, intervening, and being proactive to ensure that they're not falling into that trap as well.
Well, I definitely think that our teachers and administrators and our school board are being proactive. You provide free breakfast in some buildings, or all buildings now?
K through two.
Free breakfast for all students. You are providing free school supplies. You're providing tuition-free college education for the first 2 years. Did you think that when, I mean, honestly, when you got in, when you started your path in your education career, that these are the issues you'd be dealing with?
No, I didn't. And I would never have dreamed that we have been able to, you know, meet the needs of our students like we are. I mean, you know, and so that argument can happen either way.
There's it could be disheartening, or it could be amazing.
Yes, and there's people that will argue it either way. There's people here locally in which I visit with and are close friends of mine on a weekly basis that may not necessarily agree with it. But at the same time, we, and from my position, we have to do everything that we can do to ensure our kids get a leg up and get a head start on life. And I feel like that's what we're doing.
Every student, every time.
That's right.
Let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting once again with Dr. Jake Long, superintendent of Mountain Home Public School System, school district. Dr. Long, devastating news came out of the district a couple weeks ago with the passing of an incoming junior at the high school, Mr. Lucas Todd.
Yeah. It was, you know, a tragic event, but I tell you, whenever tragedy happens in our life, we realize the amount of support and caring folks that we have around us. Of course, Lucas had an unbelievable relationship with many different people. His father, you know, he's super close with his father. And it was so humbling to sit and listen to the different ways in which Lucas has impacted our school system and the number of people. And so, you know, whether you go online and you look and see the comments, he was a very fun-loving, happy young man that had a tremendous impact on a lot of people. And so definitely one of the more difficult things that I've had to, you know, kind of handle or manage or you know, address from a superintendent standpoint. But our number one goal was ensuring that Lucas's family, and then also our people who were so close to this young man, had the amount of support that they needed to be able to get through this time.
Well, our sincerest condolences and sympathies, prayers, and all those to you and our teachers and administrators and our students who lost a friend
last week. That's right.
On changing subjects, and it's hard to change subjects after that, but you did have a little bit of good news last week as well. Kathy Beckham was recognized in Little Rock by Governor Asa Hutchinson as a finalist now. She's one of the four finalists for Arkansas Teacher of the Year.
Yeah, and it's funny that we're kind of talking about these two events.
They happen on the same day.
Well, not only the same day is whenever I was sitting there down there at the Teacher of the Year ceremony with Governor Hutchinson sitting there speaking and the Commissioner Key, and And so while we were sitting there and Kathy's actually names being recognized, I'm getting, you know, the information about Lucas, you know, coming through. And so it was really the highest of highs with my sincere just being proud of Kathy. And then, you know, the absolute worst thing that, you know, that can happen is losing one of our young people. And so it was a very emotional day on many different ends. But, you know, on Kathy's side, man, she nailed it on everything. And the things that came to life of about her coming forward and to hear the governor be talking about Kathy, and the last thing that Kathy said in her application and that they read in front of this, you know, group of people at the governor's mansion was she felt like the most important thing that she does as a teacher is form relationships with students. And so to hear her say that, and then to hear the previous teacher of the year to say that, just made me so proud. In fact, one of the ADE people said, he said, Dr. Long's like a proud peacock there. and that was the truth. I was just so proud of her and so happy for her. We went back and we looked. We don't know that we've ever had a finalist for teacher of the year in Mountain Home. So it's definitely a great honor. And we're going to be cheering her on throughout this entire academic year. So what that looks like is they come up here.
Do we need a parade? I mean, how should we greet them?
Well,
how can we best help Kathy?
they will probably look for as authentic of a show as you possibly can. But that's the thing about Kathy Beckham is there's no show there. No. I mean, it's not about her. She doesn't like the limelight. And she's humble and hungry. And when we talk about looking for people that we want to be in our organization, we say we want humble, hungry, hungry meaning motivated, go-getter, and then smart meaning people smart and knowing how to talk with people. So I'm very proud of Kathy.
It's got to be that school she graduated from that gave her all those attributes, don't you think?
Yeah.
Proud Mountain Home Bomber there.
That's right. And that only makes it even that much more special.
We have an opportunity here to talk to people on the radio that may have never stepped foot in a classroom or on the campus of Mountain Home. They might have retired here from out of state and have never been to any of your buildings or been to one of the classrooms, had a chance to interact with some of your students the way that you guys get to interact with them, like Kathy talks about, having that relationship with a student. How would you describe today's classroom, today's student to those listeners?
So it's definitely different. And from an educational standpoint, we do focus on that whole child, ensuring that their mental, social, and emotional needs are being met. And then once we feel like that those needs are being met, then we engage that relationship in providing meaningful learning opportunities, project-based learning. As far as the classroom goes, you know, you go into our classrooms and you'll see probably you're not going to see desks in rows. You're going to see tables or little workspaces with funny looking chairs and kind of like this flexible seating, what it's called, and more like pods and stations in which students, you know, travel through and transfer to. At the secondary level, you know, half of your class may be delivered through video at home. And then you come to school, and it's called a flip classroom, and you come to school, and you're actually doing your homework at school. And at home, you're sitting there watching the videos as your homework, and you're watching the videos of the lecture or something that the student's doing. So definitely it has changed, but at the end of the day, the one thing that has not changed is, you know, we firmly believe that we educate students by capturing that heart first and building that relationship. And so let's capture that heart, build a relationship, and then we can start molding that mind.
Again, the first day of school for Mountain Home is this Wednesday. Everybody goes back. Hey, do you still open the car doors at the kindergarten?
I do.
You do? Well, you know, you're sitting here. Cody Clark is behind the board. He's got a little boy that's going to start kindergarten this year.
Nice.
I have a little boy that's going to start kindergarten this year. So, you know, you need to be on the lookout there.
I will see you guys bright and early.
You'll see mine jumping out of the car, running in. I mean, there will be no tears in my house.
No tears.
No, no
mama. What about from mama?
No, no, no. He is ready. He's been wanting.
What about grandpa? Is he going to be?
I think he's a little nervous. Because I told Zane, I said, you know, Coach Wood knows if you get in trouble at kindergarten, she's going to call Bob. Yeah. She's not going to call mama. She's going to call Bob. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, I can't wait. And it'll be a good day for sure.
We're excited. Bless you to all the teachers and administrators and everybody who's putting in those long, hard hours, getting ready to welcome all the kids back. And here's to another great year.
Yes.
We'll see you at Bomberfest, too.
Bomberfest.
You've been listening to Local Matters on KTLO.